Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have a lot to talk about today. We have a Romanian priest who's in jail after an exorcism attempt on a nun, and he ended up killing the nun by chaining her to a cross, and she died of dehydration, starvation, and she suffocated to death, which is one way people die when they get crucified. We'll talk about that. The tiniest baby ever born, the youngest baby to leave the hospital and survive. Boy, this is really exciting. This story out of Miami, a baby has been born, Amelia Taylor. On October 24th, she was less than 22 weeks in the womb. She was born at 9.5 inches, weighed less than 10 ounces. Wow, what does that tell us? Pro-aborts? They kill these kids, and we say they're kids, and they say, no, they're not kids. They're tumors, they're blobs, they're, well, this is a little child, and when she was born, she's a human being, fully. So, what, George Tiller in Wichita, here in Colorado, up in Boulder, Warren Hearn would kill her for $4,000. An Italian judge, got this on the Drudge Report, an Italian judge ordered a 13-year-old girl to get an abortion against her wishes. Pro-aborts are agreeing with that. And then they realize that they've always said they were pro-choice. And it's like, oops, if we were pro-choice, we would be opposed to the government forcing a girl to get an abortion. But they're a bunch of hypocrites, right, Planned Parenthood? Oh, and by the way, I apologize. I have a severe head cold. Severe. And I would appreciate it if no one gives me any medical or health advice on how to deal with it. No home remedies, no medicine, because if something like this happens, then I lose about 3 hours of my life over the next few days by 20 or 30 people telling me how to deal with my head cold. So please, I'd rather you wish it lasts twice as long than help me solve it. But anyway, so I apologize that I have a head cold. But then we have two creationists in the news. One, Kent Hovind, is in jail. 10-year jail sentence for tax evasion. That's tragic. And I urged him personally years ago to dump his radical political views. And he brought a lot of people to the Lord and taught a lot of people about creation in the Bible. That's a real tragedy. But so some of his jail conversations were recorded, and they're now on the internet. That adds to the sadness. And then at Answers in Genesis, now this is really interesting. You know what's happened? Bill Maher, you know Bill Maher from ABC's Politically Incorrect, that liberally hates God? Well, he snuck into the facility, the Creation Museum, that Answers in Genesis has been building. He had a TV crew go there under a false pretense, and his TV crew made an effort to distract the security of the museum, and they snuck him in a back door. And that's all, you know, that's wrong, of course. And so the goal was for them to do an interview with Ken Ham. And now Ken Ham has put out, a report letting people know this is how important Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis has become, that Bill Maher would go to this length for his TV show, no longer on ABC. Now it's just a little bit party place, but that he would go to this length to try to get an interview with Ken Ham. That's pretty interesting. Okay. So also our telethon is going tremendously well, and we're so thankful. We got $5,000 in matching funds yesterday from a Denver surgeon, Dr. Ed. And so what that means is right now we are at about 3/4 of the way toward our goal. We've taken in, thanks to your gifts, $18,525. The goal by the end of February is $25,000. So anything you give If you subscribe to Bob and Yurt Live, our televised classics that we've just introduced, the old TV show that everybody loves so much is now back on DVD. And believe me, you'll enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. So we have subscriptions like Bible study albums, sermons, topical videos, and the BEL televised classics. You could subscribe to one of those, and whatever that monthly amount is, we multiply it by 10. That's the amount toward the telethon goal, and then Dr. Ed will match that and double it. So we have a lot at stake here with these $5,000 in matching funds. And if you live in Denver, hey, Colorado has really come through this telethon so far. But if you live in Denver especially, or the Denver metropolitan area, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Okay. Oh, and our website, kgov.com. So this Romanian priest has been sentenced to 14 years in prison. And also, there were, three nuns who were sentenced? He's actually a monk, and he served as the priest for this secluded convent in northeast Romania. And he and these nuns chained another nun, Sister Maricia Arina Cornichi, 23-year-old young gal. She thought that she was talking to the devil, or the devil was talking to her, and maybe she was schizophrenic, who knows what. And so they chained her to a cross, and she kept her on that cross for days without food or water, and she died, apparently, this has gone to court, of dehydration, exhaustion, and suffocation. And that's how people die, of suffocation. On the cross, quite often. That's why they break their legs, so they can't push themselves up to breathe. And when they came to the Lord, he was already dead. They put their spear in his side just to confirm that he was dead. And he was, and just like the Passover lamb, whose bones were not broken, his bones were not broken, as a sign to us that the Old Testament was written in order to point to Jesus Christ. In 100 different ways. Okay. So, 14 years for killing someone? Why 14 years? Why not just death? Isn't that more merciful? That's far more merciful. Just put him to death. Okay. And that's New Testament justice, right? From God. What did God change between the old and the new? And he went for counseling or something and got better? No. He's the same God. He's the same God, the same justice and righteousness. And when Christians are executed, when Christians are martyred and they go to heaven, what do they cry out for? To forgive their murderers? No, they cry out for vengeance and justice. Probably people who go to hell because they were murdered, I would say they're more inclined to forgive the murderers than the believers who go to heaven. Because the believers who go to heaven, then their self-righteousness drops away, and they know God, they see him as he is, and they better know him. Okay, so down in Miami, here's this premature baby, was born less than 22 weeks. They knew exactly how long the baby was born. The baby was in the womb because it was an in vitro fertilization, and so they knew exactly how long. And this is the youngest ever that a baby has been in the womb and then survived. Just 9.5 inches, less than 10 ounces. Extraordinary. And Planned Parenthood, how long will Planned Parenthood do an abortion? How many weeks? They've changed it over time. Is it 28 weeks, 5 days? Something like that. And Warren Hearn in Boulder, he'll do abortions. He brags that abortion in Colorado is legal through the day of birth. So yeah, he does abortions late into the third trimester. Let's see. So liberals who argue that it's not a person, what, now they have to say Amelia was not a person? And of course, the survival age for children in the womb, as we learn more, that keeps getting younger and younger and younger. And so if you intentionally kill the baby from the moment of fertilization through natural death, it's called murder. That's what it's called. So here's this Italian judge. This is according to the Drudge Report today. An Italian judge imposed abortion on a 13-year-old girl. Why? The parents were insisting that she get an abortion. And on the internet, there's all kinds of websites where they have a news story and then you give comments. And there's all these pro-aborts who are laughing and they're grinning. One says, "I'm grinning right now because of how upset it makes pro-lifers." He said, I like when people get angry. And these pro-aborts, they say they support pro-choice. But Planned Parenthood International gives millions of dollars over the decades to China's forced abortion program. They're not pro-choice. They're a bunch of liars. They're pro-abortion. So one guy made a comment here. Italian judge imposes abortion on 13-year-old girl. And this guy is pretty funny. He's being sarcastic. He's smart. He said, "Can you really abort someone who's already 13 years old? Seems a little old to me, but if it works, hey, then you got to go with it, I guess." He's being sarcastic. He's pointing out the absurdity of killing children because they're how old? They're in the womb. They're 22 weeks. They're 30 weeks. They're 12 weeks. And so if you could kill them in the womb, you could kill them out of the womb. And here's a 13-year-old girl. Judge imposes abortion on 13-year-old girl. So to make a point, he took the headline literally. The judge said, "Abort that 13-year-old girl." He said, "That seems a little old to me, but hey, if it works, then you got to go with it, I guess." So he's being sarcastic to make a point of the absurdity of legally killing unborn children. Okay. So then, wow, I got an email from Indiana. And this is from Quinn. And he writes this: "I attended a legislative action meeting Saturday morning that the Allen County Right to Life held at Concordia University." And he said, by the way, that's a Lutheran Missouri Synod denomination. And Missouri Synod, that's the more conservative of the Lutheran denominations. But Quinn makes a little editorial comment that this particular group, that they're Calvinist. And he says, so they believe that God ordains every rape, but it is evil to believe that God can change the future. Now, that describes a lot of settled viewers, doesn't it? The debate I had last week with this Covenant Baptist pastor from San Diego, Gene Cook, we'll be airing parts of that debate soon here at Bob and Yurt Live. And I asked him, do you believe that God ordained that a particular 5-year-old boy who sodomized and it's videoed for an internet porn video, do you think that God ordained that 5-year-old boy to be sodomized for 20 minutes? Do you think that was ordained by God? He said, yes, that's ordained by God. So we believe, we are open theists. We believe that God is free and able to change the future. He says, Calvinists say, that's evil, but when we assert that God ordains children to be raped, that's good. So they assert that God ordains children to be raped, but it's evil to say that God is free and able to change the future. Do you see what's at stake there? They are willing to sacrifice God's goodness and love on the altar of utter commitment to raw knowledge and power and immutability. Okay, so anyway, I got off on a tangent. Quinn says he attended this legislative action meeting at Concordia University on Saturday, and he said, I asked the president pro tem of the Indiana Senate, David Long. He said, I asked him if these so-called pro-life laws, such as parental notification law, fetal pain law, informed consent law, if these laws would keep abortion legal if Roe v. Wade were overturned. And I let him and the group know that Professor Charles Rice, up at Notre Dame, constitutional law professor, said yes, these laws would keep abortion legal if Roe v. Wade were simply overturned. So the Senate's pro tem president, David Long, gave a roundabout response and basically said that such laws are for the states to decide and not the federal government. Pretty much he was regurgitating the same rationale of Antonin Scalia, one of our current U.S. Supreme Court justices. At this point, I'd like to bring Quinn on the show. Quinn, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob. Thank you.
What an excellent email, Quinn. So you asked this legislator and the people at this meeting about these pro-life laws that if Roe v. Wade were overturned, they would keep abortion legal.
Right.
And so then he went on and said that it's up to the states to decide about abortion, whether abortion should be legal or not, and not the federal government. So what happened then?
Well, I pressed him on. I followed up with that. I asked him if Germany, if Nazi Germany, had the right to legalize killing the innocent, killing innocent Jews, for example.
Yes.
And he was pretty offended at that.
Why?
He didn't like the comparison. But pretty much everyone in the room, you know, this is a pro-life audience. This whole event was put on by the Allen County Right to Life. And, you know, there are serious pro-lifers there. There are people who are running for office in the future, who hold office currently, people who have helped to support pro-life groups, you know, in the past and currently do. And they know that making a comparison between Nazi Germany and killing innocent Jews, making that legal, and legalizing the killing of the innocent unborn, they know that that's a valid comparison.
Well, because the reason pro-lifers are against abortion is because abortion is murder. It's the killing of an innocent person.
Yeah, killing of an innocent human person.
Yeah, that's why we're against abortion. So even if he didn't like the analogy, he had to admit that the Germans started killing Jews.
Right.
And so if that was a states' rights issue in Germany, would he say, well, you know, if this province said we're going to kill Jews, then so be it. What can we at the federal level say? Does he really think that some states should be allowed to own blacks or rape women or kill children who are mentally retarded or whatever?
Yeah, I wanted to ask if he believed that the state government had the right to consider legalizing rape. I didn't get the opportunity to say that. They wanted to move on to another question.
Yeah, and here's what happens. And I think our Christian leaders are largely to blame for this.
That's completely true.
Yeah, we have lost the moral high ground in the abortion battle and even in the culture war because we have traded God's enduring commands like do not murder and do not commit adultery. We have traded them and do not steal for humanist concepts that we have absolute commitment to. And one of those currently popular in vogue among conservatives is states' rights. So they say it's a states' rights issue. But no state, no subdivision of government has the right to legitimize a crime. So no state would have the right to say, we're going to let men rape women.
Exactly.
Or we're going to let people own blacks as slaves, or we're going to let people kill Jews because we're just tired of them. No state has that right. So if a city in Colorado started to allow people to kill, you know, their neighbors, then the state government would have to intervene against that city. And if a state started to allow men to rape women or to kill blacks, then the federal government would have to intervene because no subdivision of government has the right to decriminalize murder or kidnapping or rape and so on. But we have, I assert, it's millions of conservative Christians who can't even understand that. They think states' rights trump do not murder. They actually think that.
Well, the poster boy, the poster child for the pro-life legal government movement, however you want to say it, political movement,
yeah,
is Antonin Scalia. He is the the top example, the shining star in basically as far as people go. They say, well, you know, he's the man. We want a guy like him. And they use the same rationale that he has used in his Supreme Court opinions, where he has stated that he's pro-choice state by state. And you reported, you said on one of your shows in the past, that when Scalia went to Pepperdine Law School and talked with a group of law students out there, he was asked.
That's right. I could finish that story. I could finish that story, and I'll tell you where I got it.
Okay.
I had an invitation to a lunch at a private club down in Colorado Springs, and it was from a lawyer who works for Focus on the Family. And he said to me, Bob, I've heard your argument, Focus on the Strategy, that the body of Christ has become humanist and we're sinking into moral relativism. And he said, I got to tell you, I see it more and more. And one of the heroes of the Christian pro-life community is Antonin Scalia. And he said, Scalia just spoke at Pepperdine University a few weeks earlier. And after his talk was states' rights. And as judges, we need to uphold the law, right? We're rubber stamp. We rubber stamp whatever laws are passed according to our system. So he was asked by a student, well, then what if you were a judge in Germany where the law was and the precedent was from the chief justice on down that you were to kill Jews? What if you were a judge in Germany in the 1930s? And Scalia's answer was this. This is according to the lawyer who works for Focus on the Family. So we're getting this. I got it secondhand. So my audience is getting it thirdhand. But if they've read Scalia's writings, they know it's true.
Right.
Scalia said, well, then I guess I would have been convicted at Nuremberg. Now, at that point, the whole student body should have got up and left. But they didn't, because they're young skulls full of mush. And they're being conditioned, and even any of the Christians in that group would know from Dr. James Dobson and Dr. D. James Kennedy and from the American Family Association and from National Right to Life and from President George W. Bush and from Americans United for Life and from on and on and on. They would know that Antonin Scalia is one of the heroes of the Christian pro-life community. And if Antonin Scalia says, if I was a judge in Germany, I would have upheld the killing of the Jews, then that must be the right thing for a judge to do. And that is the moral relativism that we have been sucked into. And it's right. Devastating.
Right, yeah, that's part of it. And I believe that the people in Congress, I don't think they believe that there's anything like a Nuremberg trial that could happen here in the USA, because I guess it would take a stronger nation or a more powerful nation to, I guess, bring that about.
Well, there will come a time when George W. Bush will stand before God.
Right.
And all of us, those who are believers, will stand at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. Those who are unbelievers will be at the great white throne judgment, when we Christians will be helping God judge them as God commits judgment to the hands of his saints. And the New Testament says, do you not know that we will judge the angels? Do you not know that we will judge the world? And so if this doesn't get corrected sooner rather than later, then these justices who kill the innocent in the name of following man-made agreements, obeying man rather than God, then those justices will stand before God and their mouths will be stopped, because it's even obvious today what a lie it is. But then our Christian right. pro-life leaders, when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Apostle Paul says that many will see their works burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. And when our Christian leaders have misinformed a generation of young Christians that our leaders should obey the law rather than God's enduring command, do not murder, they are seeing their works burn up before their very eyes.
That's right. I mean, how can we expect to or have any hope to obtain victory, especially in this matter, when there are leaders out there that say, well, the state government has the right to decide whether they should legalize murder or crimes that are, you know, morally absolute? You don't have the right. And what struck me at the beginning of this legislative session, this guy with the Missouri Synod Lutheran denomination, he bragged that at the recent meeting that his group, the voters of his denomination who vote on on different issues resolutions, he bragged that they gave a unanimous vote to upholding opposition to abortion.
Right, and we've pointed out many times at Bob and Yurt Live, when they get to heaven, God's going to say, where did you ever get the idea that you Christians should vote on my law?
Right.
Because once you start voting on murder and adultery, pornography, homosexuality, eventually the vote is going to go the wrong way because you can't put new wine in old wineskins.
That's exactly right.
And it misleads, Quinn, it misleads the masses into thinking that man sets the law and the standards. It's humanism to have people vote on God's command, do not murder.
Right. And I want to point out and I want to promote that we condemn those in the strongest language, those that think the government has the right to legalize murder. I want to let them know that if they believe that, they are part
of the problem.
They're a member of hell's rebel alliance and they are a traitor.
Wow. Hey, Quinn, now we have Rudy Giuliani announcing for the Republican nomination. He wants it. And he is pro-partial birth abortion, pro-homosexual marriage. He's a liberal, hardcore liberal. Hates God. Loves bloodshed and sexual immorality.
Yeah, he's an archbishop in Hell's Rebel Alliance.
All right. You like that Hell's Rebel Alliance. That's pretty cool. And here we have Christians or pro-life spokesman, talk show hosts like William Bennett, who gave us the Book of Virtues, and Hugh Hewitt, and Sean Hannity, and I get a whole list of them saying, you know, Rudy Giuliani's pretty good. And so I think we're going to have Christian leaders like James Dobson and D. James Kennedy, men who I love, and Don Wildman, and they are going to be distraught that millions of Christians are going to want to vote for Rudy Giuliani. And they're going to say, how could you possibly vote for him? And they're going to say, Dr. Dobson, you taught us it's okay to violate God's command, do not murder, if it means a Republican victory. Thank you, Quinn. We're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school that is. Maranatha. And our website is kgov.com.